Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. It is a good day in studio. We have a full studio this morning. I love days like this where we get to share stories from families and what they love about being a family. And this month, giving thanks to God for foster families, foster care families. And we're going to talk with Bev Schaefer, the foster care director at Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri here in just a little bit. And a splendid family she's brought along with her today to share their story. So thanks so much for joining us today. Hope you can stick around and hear these stories. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. You can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin on our website. Go to kfuo.org. Look for the CUW logo in the sponsor section. There you'll find more information about Concordia University, Wisconsin. Joining me in studio this morning, Bev Schaefer, foster care director for Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri. Bev, welcome back to Faith and Family.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to have you in studio and looking forward to talking with you about foster care. Now, is December, I know we have adoption month that I think that's in May, right? Is December a special month for foster care, or we just chose this month to give thanks to God for foster families?
Well, November is really Foster Parent Appreciation Month, but we appreciate them every month.
Absolutely. So. I'm just running a little behind. Well, thank you so much, Bev, for coming over today to share this this wonderful family story with us. Joining us in studio today, the McCarty family. We have Jody McCarty joining us in studio this morning. Jody, welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Glad to have you here today and learning about your beautiful family. And Stephen McCarty, thanks for coming in and sharing your family story with us today.
Absolutely, Andy. Good morning.
Good morning. It is a great day here in the studio. Well, let's talk a little bit about what is, for those not familiar with a foster family and foster care through Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri. Bev, can you give us an idea of what the foster care program is through Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri?
Sure. We're able to offer crisis foster care for families that are just experiencing something just going wrong in their life, whether it's homelessness or incarceration or just any kind of things that can be going on in a family that's causing them to feel that they're not able to care for their children as well as they would like to. And so we can offer up to 30 days of foster care so that we can help them stabilize their lives, and whether it is to find housing or to get their GED or to find a job. So it's short-term foster care just to help them get on their feet and get going.
And so this is all organized through Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri, and that takes a strong network of foster care families, correct?
Oh my gosh. We couldn't do it without our foster families. Of course, they're licensed by the state, and they can do foster care for other agencies, but we try to keep them close.
What is it that you're looking for in foster care families, families to provide this short-term care for children?
Well, most of the folks that call us feel that they've been blessed in their own life and they want to give back. So we love to get those kind of phone calls where people are saying, man, the Lord has blessed me and now I want to help people the best that I can. And right now, as you know, most families have moms and dads that are both working. And what I'm always needing are at-home moms, because when we take babies into care, which might be for crisis care or for a pre-adoptive situation, I can't use daycare. So I need someone who can, you know, be there for little tiny babies right out of the hospital.
That's, I'm sure, a pressing need when that happens, when a birth mom needs a family to care for such a young baby. Well, let's talk about the McCarty family and all here today. We've got a crowd here in the studio, and so let's introduce more of the McCarty family. We introduced mom and dad. Let's introduce the rest of the family with us this morning. We have, let's see, is Ashlyn over there? Ashlyn, do you want to say hi in the microphone? You can come over here to this microphone right over here. Do you want to come say good morning? Everybody's being bashful. How about Callie? Callie, do you want to say hi?
Hi.
How about Sienna? Sienna over there, do you want to say hi?
She gave a smile.
I could hear it. Well, let's talk about how the McCarty family became a foster family. What prompted you to start thinking, what started that thinking about becoming a foster family? Who wants to start us off?
Well, as Jody and I look at each other, I guess I will. Yeah, it's a terrific question. I would say probably for a few years, to Beth's point earlier, we did feel that we had been blessed in a lot of ways. We felt that we were trying to do some things in giving back. And for as appropriate as those things may have been, there seemed to be something more that was missing, something that was maybe more personal. As we talked about it, we talked about the possibility of fostering as being a way of not only, donating time or talent and treasure, but just kind of opening our home to somebody in need. And, candidly, they helped us a lot in our considerations. It was a difficult process to think through, but we're very thankful that we did.
Jody, what were some of the questions you had before becoming a foster family? Were there questions? Were there doubts? Were there things that you were concerned about?
Well, certainly, we've got young kids, and when we started this process, our girls were even younger. Mm-hmm. So, of course, one of our big questions was, how do we make sure that if we're fostering, that the kids that come to us, that we're going to still be able to provide a safe environment for our own children? And so in working with Bev and Lutheran Family, the crisis foster program really seemed to be that program that we were looking for, because mm-hmm. the kids that we serve are, as Bev mentioned, infants up to the age of 5. So those are the ages that we are really comfortable with, because we're living that right now within our own family.
So you have all the supplies already at home.
For the most part. We've left the diapers behind, but we're good at getting those back stocked up.
That's kind of a production line.
And certainly, making sure that we have a safe environment for everybody. And because the program is voluntary by the parent, the parent's reaching out to LFCS and saying, hey, we need some temporary help. We felt really great about that mm-hmm. we could help provide that safe, loving, nurturing environment for those kids. And then they go back to their parents when they have figured out their issues and are ready to take them back.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about the first steps of becoming a foster parent. How did you get connected with LFCS? And then where did it go from there?
I guess I've just always known about LFCS. I used to drive by their building all the time when it was at 170 in Del Mar. So that was always just in my vision sight. Mm-hmm. And then as we started thinking about things, I talked first to the state, but expressed some of my concerns again about making sure that our kids were going to be safe first and foremost. And so they suggested that we contact LFCS and talk to them about their program. And that's when I met Bev, and we had a meeting in person to learn more about mm-hmm. the program, and then went from there.
What does that say when you express what you're interested in and what you're concerned about, and the state says, check out Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri. They have a program that is that would match, what you're interested in. What does that say about the LFCS program?
Well, I mean, it told us then what we know now much better from personal experience. I mean, that they're providing the structure and mm-hmm. and everything that we need to help us on a journey that we didn't fully understand. Mm-hmm. And, for lack of a better term, the brand is out there. More than just us Lutherans know just how good they are.
So you got connected with LFCS. And what were the first steps then with Lutheran Family and Children's Services once you made that first connection with them?
Bev came to do our first home study. And so she came to our home, sat down, went through a lot of questions, and looked around the house to make sure that, we did have a safe, secure environment.
Bev, did you bring the white glove?
No, I never bring the white glove. No, I that's what I always tell the foster parents, I'm just here to see that you've got a nice place for the children to sleep and a safe environment. But the funny thing, I'm looking here at the McCarty's three beautiful children, and of course the first child that I placed with them was a boy, and they have these three beautiful little girls.
So did all the girls dote over the little boy?
Yes. And they still talk about him. So they're ready for another new friend to come stay with us.
So Bev came, made a home visit, mm-hmm. or the home study, and learned about your home being a safe environment and a welcoming environment for a child. Where did it go from there after the home study?
Then there's an awful lot of paperwork and lots of background checks, which, of course, there should be when mm-hmm. children are involved. Employment verifications, letters of reference, full criminal background checks.
Physicals.
Yes, physicals. I think another home study. There were a few things that we had to make sure that we had in place mm-hmm. safety-wise. Mm-hmm. So we got those taken care of. Bev came back to make sure that we were ready to go.
Talked with the girls
to make sure that they were on board and mm-hmm. could, you know, understand as best they could what mm-hmm. it would look like to have somebody come stay with us on a short-term basis. Let's see, we have a dog, so we have to make sure that, you know, the dog's vaccination records and all of that are with Bev as well. So it's a very thorough process.
In preparing the whole family for this new chapter, new chapter in the McCarty family, how did the conversations go as you talked with the girls about bringing another child into the home? How did those conversations go, Stephen?
Well, it's a terrific question. I mean, you know, our daughters are 7, 6, and 4, and you know we talked about how to approach that before actually speaking with them. But effectively, Andy, it came down to God sends, you know, children to our family in a variety of different ways. And this is another way that we think that we're being called mm-hmm. and or he is sending, you know, someone to us. And, you know, Bev and others can help us walk through the process. But at the end of the day, this is what was right for our home. This is what, what we felt was proper.
How did the girls respond in those conversations?
Not sure that they were quite sure what to expect, right? It's one thing to talk about receiving a child. It's mm-hmm. another thing to have actually received
sure.
a child. So I think if I had to sum it up, they kind of viewed it as, okay, so a friend is going to be here for a while. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that now that we've gone through the entire process, now they viewed it as, I don't want to say sibling, but I want to say that something in that universe, mm-hmm. you know, it was more than a friend. It was more personal. It was more touching.
Mm-hmm. And I know that one of the things that I was most concerned about with the McCartys is that the first placement is always the hardest. Just loving a child and then letting that child go is just really difficult. And I have to tell you that we've had some foster parents who, after they've taken their first placement, have said, I don't think I can do this again. It just breaks my heart when they go back home or even when they're adopted. And so we have to work with those foster moms through that first time. Mm-hmm. And luckily, we have a nice network of other foster moms that they can call and cry with.
I'm sure that it is certainly challenging, certainly difficult, but an important vocation nonetheless. So we went through the home study and all the paperwork, all the everything else to get ready. You've got everything done, all your ducks in a row and all ready. And then it was just wait.
And then you sit and wait for that phone call.
And when did that phone call come?
We actually had several phone calls that came, and because of our travel schedule, unfortunately, they didn't. The first couple of placements, mm-hmm. we weren't able to help out because we just simply weren't here. But when Bev called with the last one, we said, yes, we are ready to go. And it was a really amazing experience.
Before the child was placed with us, we also looked at each other and said, wow, this is about to happen.
What does it compare to in other chapters of life? Does it compare to in terms of, I don't know, that level of surprise, that level of anxiousness or eagerness, you know, getting married, having a child, buying a home, starting a new career, any of those?
Yeah, it's a terrific question, and
compares to many of those. Yeah. You anticipate, you're anxious, and then you get some of that doubt of, oh my gosh, what if I can't do this? What if I can't handle 4 kids at one time? How am I going to get them all in the car? You know, just all of that craziness, and then you just take a deep breath and think, we'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen, and we'll make it work one way or another. And we did.
My theory is if you can handle three kids, you can handle four, right?
Yes, you can.
says the father of one.
Where are they? They're somewhere.
So you get the call and excited placement. You get the call one day and the placement is the same day or next day?
Each situation is different. Mm-hmm. But I think for us, we had kind of one day to prepare mentally as much as possible. And I made sure that the little toddler bed was ready and made and had put a stuffed animal on the pillow. And I took a picture of the bed because I knew when we met our new little friend that his mom would be there. And so I wanted to be able to show her a picture so she knew where he would be and that he would be safe and loved. Mm-hmm. And I think that really helped with the transition.
Well, tell us a little bit about meeting when you make that transition. Now, in these the short term of the crisis foster care, you meet the birth mom. Is that correct?
Sometimes you do. Sometimes you don't. In our situation, we did. We met over at Lutheran Family and Children's Services offices, and Sienna, our youngest, came with me. Mm-hmm. And so we went into a family room, and Sienna got out some toys and played, and then the mom and our little friend came in and kind of looked, the little friend looked at us like, who are you? And then he saw Sienna playing, and soon the two of them were playing together and we talked. You know, mom shared with me what he likes food-wise, when he typically takes a nap. I mean, just some of those things that help the transition. And we talked about our kids, and so she had a little bit better understanding of our family. And after, I don't know, probably 45 minutes or so, we had snacks, everybody had fun, and off we went.
What do you think that was like for the child? What do you think? I'm sure that, you know, so much going through your mind at that time. What might have been going through his mind that day?
Oh, I'm sure he was wondering, what on earth am I doing with these people? But his mom was actually ready to have a baby. And so she didn't have anybody to care for our little friend while she was in the hospital. So he already knew that there was a big life change coming his way. And I think, you know, the first 24 hours or so were pretty overwhelming for him.
Certainly.
But with these three lovely girls there playing with him and taking care of him and helping him, you know, fit into our family and our home, I think the three of them really made a big difference and made him comfortable right away.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that is a big transition. And this was the first time that a child, a new friend, a foster child has come into your home. How did those first 24 hours go for you as a family? You mentioned the girls were just excited to have a new friend in the home. How did that go for you? What were the questions that you both had? Stephen, what were the questions or things that you were thinking about during that first day or two?
Well, you know, it's the first time, so, you know, am I saying the right things? Am I doing the right things? You know, are things safe? Mm-hmm. You know, you're constantly looking around, making sure that anything that you've thought about probably too much before the placement, you're trying just to make sure you do well. And I think those jitters settle down fairly quickly. Yeah, and you look around, and I don't want to say that there aren't challenges and that it's not sometimes a difficult process, but the reality is things settle down maybe a bit more quickly than I would have guessed, and that, you know, the flow of your life continues, and, you know, the new boy who's with us kind of gets into that flow, I think for everybody's benefit.
And you were just happy to have another guy in the house.
It is something to be said.
still wasn't a fair game yet, though, was it? It was still about, you're still outnumbered.
I'm outnumbered for the rest of my life.
How did that time go then over the next couple of weeks? Did your new friend, the little boy, how did he adjust to life in the McCarty home?
He did wonderfully. Mm-hmm. It was amazing to watch him so quickly come out of his shell and just laugh. His vocabulary skyrocketed while he stayed with us. He was involved with Missouri's First Steps program, and so we had his counselor come to into our home and work with him while he was with us. And she just was amazed, too, at how much his vocabulary improved, mm-hmm. that his behavior, he had a more calm demeanor. He was just laughing, very energetic, just seemed to really, really have a wonderful time. And even our dog was involved, you know, with him. He was afraid of big dogs, and we have a 65-pound dog that thinks he's a lap dog and is just a love bug. And our little friend and our dog were the best of friends within the first day. It was wonderful.
It is amazing how little children adjust during those early stages of development. Language and vocabulary just increase almost explosively. And it's exciting to witness that, to see a young child learning so many new terms, so many vocabulary. I don't know, that for me as a parent, that's exciting to get to see that in a child.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
All right. So he spent, how long was your first foster child with you?
He was actually with us for about 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. His new baby sister had some medical issues after mm-hmm. she was born and had to go back into the hospital. So his stay was extended with us, but it was wonderful.
Tell us, Stephen, looking over those 6 weeks, how did your perspective on being a foster parent change or remain the same?
So I think that, you know, the first couple of days, it's almost kind of hard to get a read on the child, and he's just getting acclimated. But from that point forward, it still amazes me to this day just how quickly he became just a regular, normal, loving part of our lives. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think the amount of time it went by so quickly. I mean, we were willing to be available for more. We were just, you know, enjoying the. I think he was enjoying the process, and there's just it was literally becoming part of the family.
What does a typical week look like in the McCarty family? What is with school and everything else and work? I'm sure. What does a typical week look like for the McCarty family schedule?
I don't think we could answer that even before this process.
There's always something going on, it seems. Ballet class and gymnastics and Sunday school and birthday parties every weekend. Lots of trips to the zoo and different places around town. And so it was really fun to be able to take our foster child with us and, mm-hmm. and watch him experience some of those places, we think probably for the first time.
Hmm. And I would say, you know, that to add to that, that there's so many things going on just with normal life, right? I work a lot of hours. I wind up traveling as well. I mean, Jody does a lot of, you know, volunteer work and has multiple obligations. And it's very easy to say, or it's easy to think that, you know, how is all this going to wind up working? It does wind up working. But like any family today in 2015, it's just, you know, constant whatever going on, you know?
A lot of text messages and phone calls.
Fortunately, not with the kids yet, but certainly with us.
Well, we need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, I want to hear more of your stories and learn more about your vocation as a foster family, and learn more from Bev as well about the need for foster parents and what we can do to become foster families. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. We'll be back right after these messages.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Sarah Braun was on top of the world, a top American 1,500-meter runner. She's already qualified for this summer's Olympics. Then she got the news. She was pregnant and her coach was the father. The good news is her coach is also her husband. Instead of aborting the baby who could derail her Olympic dreams, Sarah and Darren chose life and are moving forward with their original plans. The baby is due in March, less than 15 weeks before Olympic trials. Sarah says she's letting her body dictate what she does, and Darren pledges to do night duty since she will need her sleep. Sarah says, "We don't have control all the time, but I'm definitely not afraid to try and not afraid to tell people I am trying. Please, keep them in your prayers."
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
When John the Baptist asks if Jesus is the one to come, part of Jesus' response is, "Blessed is the one who is not offended by me." What does this mean? Live Wednesday on Issues Etc., we'll look forward to Sunday morning talking with Dr. Carl Fikencher about messengers from John the Baptist sent to Jesus in Luke chapter 7.
Issues Etc., live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
What touches your heart during the Christmas season? For many, it's the sharing. The sharing of the time. The sharing of God's blessings. The sharing of God's divine gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. Hi, this is Rich Robertson, President and CEO of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. As I reflect back over this past year, I think about how much is shared through the LCMS ministries. People's lives are changed by the message and the actions of our church body. The Lutheran Church Extension Fund is blessed to share in these experiences through the investments, loans, and support services we provide individuals, church workers, and ministries. May God bless you and your family this sacred season of our Savior's birth.
Trust Worldwide KFUO for sacred music of the church every night of the year. Weeknights after evening prayer, you can hear sacred music on KFUO in St. Louis, streaming online at kfuo.org. You can hear the difference with our online stream in high-quality stereo, whether you listen on your smartphone, Wi-Fi radio, or laptop, as well as your business or home computers. Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news, trusted for more than 90 years.
Our Synod partners are vital to LCMS Ministries' mission and more. Join us this month as we lift up these precious partnerships and as the Synod provides information and resources, including bulletin inserts, prayers, and more at lcms.org/focus/partners. lcms.org/focus/partners.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We are talking with our friends from Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri today about foster care. Bev Schaefer, she's the foster care director at LFCS of Missouri, and sharing with us the beautiful story of the McCarty family. And I love talking with Jody and Stephen today and hearing their story of their girls and welcoming foster children into their home. And thank you both so much for just being willing to share your stories today. Before we went to break, we were talking about the first foster child to come into your home and the experience that you all had and what that was like from your perspective. What do you think? How did you said the girls just doted over this new little boy in your family? When it came time for this foster child to go back to either to his birth mom or to an adoptive family, how did you talk about that first with the girls? How did you prepare yourselves? How did you talk about that with the girls?
Well, we cried a lot. The girls cried a lot.
Sure.
But, you know, ultimately they know that he's back with his mom mm-hmm. and that she loves him dearly and that she's doing the best for him that she possibly can. And that by him going back to his mom, that we have a place in our home again to help somebody else who needs help. And so that's what we really tried to focus on.
What a concept as a child to think about being away, you know, for them to think about being away from you and how they would love to be back with you so much, how it would be so important for them to be back with you. And that's a great perspective to put on that for them. Yeah. Bev, it looked like you were going to share. Were you going to add something there?
Oh. No, I was just smiling.
So it certainly was a difficult time, I'm sure, a challenging a time of tears. How about for you, Stephen? What was it like to return this child back to his birth mom and to have him leave your household?
Yeah, it's an amazing journey, especially the first time through, where you go from not knowing what to expect to apprehension to feeling that, you know, okay, I think we have this, and then becoming more personally involved, you know, with the heart and the soul, with the child, and then letting go. And just thinking it through from, you know, we understand that, you know, this temporary situation may have been a small part in his life as he grows, but that, you know, hopefully it was a good small part, you know, that opened a door or two, or, you know, assisted mom, assisted him. Mm-hmm. And you kind of have it, you have sadness, but at the same time you have, you know, a feeling of, you know, we did help and we would do it again.
Bev mentioned earlier that there's a network of other foster families, a network that can provide some support. Did you get connected to some of the other foster families, or who was your support through that time of serving as a foster family and then also sending him back to his birth mom?
Well, excuse me, we had quite a lot of support. Certainly Bev was a great support, especially after our little friend went back to his mom. She took very good care of me. So thank you, Bev. But certainly our friends and our church family were absolutely amazing. You know, he came to church with us. He ran around with all the kids. We had friends and church families that gave us toys and clothing and things to send
you
back
with
him. You
had all girl stuff.
We did. There are a lot more trucks at our house now. And the girls love to play with them, by the way.
And so do I.
And so does Steve.
Mm-hmm. That I'm sure is so valuable, having that support, not only of the foster families, but of your church family as well.
Yeah, and I would add that, you know, the first time we went to, you know, after the first week, and that you're starting to settle in at that point. And we were at church, and, you know, like many services, you know, the pastor opens it up for prayer requests. And one of our friends in the church, with several children of her own, you know, added our family to the prayer requests, and, you know, this young boy's name to the prayer requests, you know, basically engaging the whole congregation. And I remember being very personally touched by that, you know, knowing that for as much as you feel that you're kind of doing this on your own, you're not, and that there's a larger community, a larger congregation, you know, a larger body that's helping, that's there for us. And they were. It was very touching how many families wound up lending us a hand in a variety of ways.
I know Sunday mornings, even just with 1 2-year-old, how Sunday mornings can go, and some of the challenges, some of the things that you know, getting to church on time, and then knowing, I kind of read the behavior of my son and know what's going to happen, predict what's going to happen next, so that I can prepare for it. Do we need the sippy cup out? Do we need the Cheerios out? You know, what do we need before something bigger happens? You're bringing a child with you to church services, and you don't know all those cues yet.
Right.
How'd that go?
You learn very quickly.
Yes, you do.
And you also sit close to the back of the church, to the escape exit, to the nursery.
And I always think about when we're going through the foster process of licensing, that there is no way that you can train a foster parent for what's going to happen when that child is in your home, because every child is so different. And so it's really a learning process as you go. Of course, you can get your CPR training, and you can, you know, learn about the policies of the agency, and you can do all the things that the Missouri state requires to license a foster parent. But really, once the child that is in their home, it's, you know, you learn by doing. That's the only way you can go.
Bev, what can we learn? What can we as we and the listeners learn from the McCarty's experience as foster family going through the process and everything that they've done? What are some good examples from the McCarty family's experience?
Well, no matter how much paperwork I gave Jody to complete, she always got an A+ on her on the paperwork. And there is a lot of paperwork. And in some foster parents, it's just overwhelming because there's a lot of things to sign. And, you know, you're getting fingerprinted and you're getting your child abuse and neglect screenings. And we're asking their friends and relatives to send personal information about them, and so the McCartys were really good about sticking with it and getting everything in, and that made my job, you know, easier because I'm trying to write several home studies at the same time, and besides getting them licensed, all the crisis care is going on before they're ever licensed, so sometimes it's a little hard to try to keep everything going, but Jody kept me on track by getting everything in on time.
So in essence, it's really just a test of persistence, right? Perseverance through all the paperwork. No,
it is. But I think that once, you know, they often say that it takes a family 3 years to finally make that phone call, that they think about becoming foster parents, think about that for, you know, 2 to 3 years. But once they make the phone call, most of them are pretty well committed.
Sure. And I'm just teasing about the paperwork. As Jody mentioned earlier, you have, you know, at LFCS, you have Bev to help you through that process and answer those questions and help you work through that process. I'm just making light of lots of paperwork because I don't like paperwork, but I'm sure it was all worth it, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
It is the state.
Right. And I always tell the foster parents myself, I go, I was a foster parent and an adoptive parent myself, and I had to go through it. So I know how bad it is, you know.
Sure. And I'm sure on your side of things as an organization, as an agency, there's a lot of paperwork to do as well.
Daily. Yes.
And that's why you're in this job, because you love paperwork, right? Well, moving beyond the paperwork, there certainly are other things that might seem like a hindrance or hurdles to this. Other things that might seem like a hindrance or hurdle. You mentioned earlier that there may be, you know, some families that have a placement once, and it's after returning the child or giving them over to an adoptive family. It's too hard emotionally to consider having another child placed with them.
Right. You do need some time to heal between children. And like I said, some people handle it better than others. But I think the more you give the child, the more that child becomes a part of your family.
Sure.
The more of your heart and love that you give when it's time for that child to leave you, it's that much harder. It does break your heart because you have loved them as if they were a part of your family. And I've had some foster parents compare it to the death of a pet or a death of a relative, because there is that loss after they leave you.
Sure. You know, to paint a picture, it sounds like what you've shared with me is each day as you're building this relationship with this foster child, you're kind of adding a stitch to and adding a stitch and adding a stitch. And then when it comes time to send them back to their birth mother or to an adoptive family, you have to cut all those threads that have, you know, made stitches along the way in order to send them back. But that doesn't mean that there isn't some impression that they've made on your family and they haven't shaped your family in some new way. Yeah.
Very true. Very true.
Well, you served as a foster family for this little boy, and now he's back with his birth mom and has a new little sister, and open to being a foster family again, to having another child placed with you. You made it through. You made it through through the first round, and you made it through that tough transition of returning the child. What do you think? What made you decide to go on and continue being foster parents and keeping that spot open for another child in your home?
Well, after we got all the paperwork done, right? I mean,
that was the tough part.
Yeah, you're good for 2 years now.
You know? Oh boy, I don't I don't know that we would consider not doing it again. I mean, there's just so many things going into the process. You think about all the challenges you're going to have. You think about all the drawbacks. You think about your family, the impact. You think about safety. You think about all these things. Joking about the paperwork, and it was almost a little intimidating at the time, even given all the help. And you don't remember any of that now. It just kind of melts away as just kind of a clumpy memory. And what we remember was the trip to the zoo. We remember mm-hmm. the girls laughing, you know, with this wonderful little boy. You know, we have pictures from, you know, when we were just goofing around or just kind of wrestling or
playing
doing
with
different
trucks.
Things. Yes, playing with trucks, playing with boy toys. But all that type of stuff it's very hard to visualize before you go through it. But those precious memories, you know, that hopefully he has right now too, mm-hmm. Are absolutely worth it. It's why we will do it again, even given the challenges coming out of this, even given some of the sadness. We would not want to have that again.
What I hear you saying is that it's not about you. It's about what you were able, you know, what he was able to receive through this.
I think that. And maybe there's a little bit of both of it, to be honest, because I think that we do feel, you know, pretty good that we were able to help him out even for 6 weeks. We feel, you know, pretty good about things like the vocabulary or hearing that kind of feedback. You know, but that's a distant second place to just knowing that, you know, hopefully his life was a little bit better and that it will continue to get better. You know, it was the part that we played and we need to do that. Hmm.
Jody, anything else to add to that?
Well, we're just grateful that we have the opportunity to serve.
Mm-hmm. Bev, let's talk a little bit more about the process and becoming a foster family. How can other families take on a new chapter in life like the McCartys have done? What are the things we need to know? What's the first step?
They can call me, 314-754-2749 is my direct number. You won't get any kind of little, you know, you'll talk to me, a real person. If I happen to be out on a home visit, I tell you to leave me as long a message as you like, and I will return your phone call. And then, of course, the home study process is pretty much mandated by the state.
Sure.
Because we're a state licensed agency. So everything is going to be the same as far as what we've talked about already, the references and the physicals and the criminal record checks and that type of thing. And then their license is good for 2 years. And like I said, once they are licensed, they can do foster care. Like if Christian Family Services or Good Shepherd or any other agency calls, we are very grateful to allow our foster parents to help them out mm-hmm. because they help us out. There are times when I can't find one of our foster parents that's available, and it's lucky that there's other organizations out there who care about children and care about helping that I'm able to call and say, ah, I really need a foster parent. So anyway, anyone who's even thinking about becoming a foster parent, call us. We can send you our little handbook. I can talk you through it. If you want to talk to Jody or you want to talk to any of our other foster parents, we've got foster parents who've been doing it for over 28 years and have had over 150 children. Mm-hmm. So believe me, they can tell you what more than I know.
Right. You have families that have had at times over the years, what, over 100?
Oh, yeah. We've got at least four families right now that have had over 100 children. So.
That have served in these short-term crisis situations.
And adoption and pre-adoption.
Wow. Uh-huh. Hmm. So they get in touch with you and learn about the process, go through all the necessary requirements, certainly to meet the state requirements, and those are important, the home study and the documentation, all the paperwork. You mentioned physicals. What are the things that we need to consider for our homes to make sure our home is a safe environment? What are the things that we need to think about? I'm thinking, you know, obviously smoke detectors and things like that. Are those the types of things you look for when you're doing a home study?
Right, smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors and fire extinguishers, but also we look for, you know, if there are any other hazards. Of course, the foster parents end up signing papers about if they have weapons in the home, and we make sure that they
follow all the procedures for that. If they have a trampoline or a swimming pool, or if they're doing construction, sometimes people are adding a family room or something like that. All those things have to be considered about if there's nails around or tools or whatever. So we do a run through of the home. And if there's anything that I'm concerned about, I then talk to them about that. But mainly, they just have to have a place for a child to sleep and a place for a child to put his things, his clothing or his little toys he comes with.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think somebody mentioned CPR as well earlier. Is that important to have the CPR training?
Yes, at least one in the family has to have CPR training, and then we offer it at Lutheran every 2 years to all the foster parents so that mm-hmm. we can keep them CPR trained, because the CPR process changes, you know, mm-hmm. What they do. And we have a trainer who comes right to the agency and trains our foster parents. So,
how connected are the foster families that you work with? You mentioned earlier a network of support. How connected are they?
Well, they end up doing so much more than just fostering. We have foster parents who volunteer to keep our closets clean. We've got foster parents who their churches do diaper drives mm-hmm. for us. And and whenever we need speakers, like here at the station or for different campaigns, or some churches' Bible studies would like to have, the foster parents are the first ones to volunteer to mm-hmm. go out and speak on behalf of the agency. And they're great ambassadors for us. Really great ambassadors.
I'm sure. And all because of the experience that they've had, and they know how valuable it is for these children and helping them have a safe and loving home so that shapes even just that one chapter of life for them.
Right. And we're not doing as many pre-adoptive mm-hmm. fostering now, mainly because a lot of babies are placed directly now. But there's nothing more precious than to be able to place the baby in the arms of a family who's been going through all of the infertility and may have been on the list for 2 years, 3 years for a baby. And when the foster mom gets to place that baby in the arms of their forever family, that's mm-hmm. a really pretty special thing.
I'm certain. Well, let's go back to the McCarty family and your daughters. How do you think this experience of having a foster child, spending even just a month and a half, 6 weeks with them, how does that shape their worldview? How does that shape their understanding of family and parents, Christian parents? What do you think?
You know, I think it's a question we reflected on a lot, and I think we understand the question better now. And, you know, we did, I think, a pretty good job of engaging with our church and having some good values and, you know, but a lot of it was talk. And I'm not saying it was bad talk mm-hmm. or bad time, but, you know, I mean, to actually live through the process, to actually give, you know, your home, to give your heart, you know, that was the talk in action. And I think if the girls took anything away, it was they now understand giving. They now understand love outside of our family. You know, they understand things in a much more personalized way. They have a face to it.
Certainly. What do you think, Jody? How do you think, you both mentioned earlier that having great memories with your first foster child and having, you know, pictures and thinking of that. And what do you think will mean for them years down the road as they grow up? How do you think this will shape their understanding of family and giving?
I think it's very important that they have these huge hearts anyway. And so for them to be able to share that with a child or children who haven't had the same blessings that mm-hmm. that our family has is extremely important. And they are so willing to share and to give. And it's just been wonderful to watch that blossom even more in these three girls.
Hmm. Girls, what do you think? Should the people who are listening, should they think about becoming a foster family? Should they think about maybe welcoming another child in their home as a foster child? What do you think? You think it's a good idea?
Yes.
You think it's a good idea? Well, that's great.
Yes.
Oh, that was sweet. Well, it certainly sounds like this is a something that has shaped your lives and will continue to shape your lives, opening up your home, maybe even another placement in the very near future as well.
Tomorrow.
So after you leave here, go and get some diapers probably.
Probably.
Well, I'm sure that creates some excitement as well with the holidays right around the corner as well. Christmas might look a little bit bigger this year.
The more the merrier.
I guess I hadn't thought about that. Thank you.
Sure. You bet. So maybe even more trucks in your house. You never know.
Well, and Boys or girls. I haven't even told the McCartys yet, but this little guy's going to have a birthday while he's in your home also.
All right.
Fun.
Here we go.
So you have, I'm sure, some special days ahead of you and a big transition, big change again, most likely if this little guy is placed. And I know that he will receive all the love and care that you provide for these girls and for that little boy that was with you already. What advice, with just a couple of minutes left, what advice do you have to those who are maybe thinking about calling and becoming a foster parent, whether it be here in St. Louis or in another part of the country, another part of the world, that are thinking about becoming a foster parent? What advice do you have for them? Stephen?
None of us have gotten to where we are if we have blessings on our own. And, you know, that to be able to give back in a more personal way is a rich, rewarding experience for everybody involved, even those folks outside of our family. And I would say that when you look at the process, if you look at how much needs to get done, it's intimidating. It's actually not, because there are people to help you walk through it every step of the way. And you let your heart guide you, you let faith guide you, and all that stuff melts away. And what you look back on is having made a true difference in a personal way for both your family and for another family. And that's what it comes down to, and that's why it makes sense.
Jody, any advice for families considering becoming a foster family?
Just take the first step and contact Bev at LFCS. That's probably the hardest thing of all, is to make that first contact and to say, hey, we're interested.
Absolutely. Bev, from the birth mom side of this story, for if someone listening, or they know someone, you know, someone listening knows someone who may be in a crisis situation where they need some help, some support.
By all means, you know, call LFCS. We have an intake worker, Jean. They can ask for Jean. She will find out what all their needs are, and we will find how we can help this mom. And because we are a United Way agency, if the mom is requesting something that we're not able to do for her, we can surely connect her up, not just by giving her a phone number, but connect her up personally with someone who can help with her needs.
How do we find out more about LFCS, Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri?
How do you find out more? You can call me. I'm 314-754-2749.
Very good.
And I'll be glad to direct them wherever they need to go.
And online? Can we find information online as well?
Of course. Right. It's just put in Lutheran Family and Children's Services and we'll pop up.
Very good. Look for Lutheran Family Children's Services of Missouri. I believe it's lfcsmo.org. M-O-LFCSMO.org. You can find out more there, and including information on from both sides of this, from whether it's a birth mom in need of support or serving as a foster family. What a beautiful story. I really appreciate you all taking time to share your story today with us here on Faith and Family and with our listeners. And I want to let our listeners know, if you listen to the story today and you want to share it with someone else, it's also recorded. So you can go to our website later on, usually within a day or two. It should be in our archives under Faith and Family. Look for it there. And you can share the story with family and friends too. Let them know about the great work that LFCS of Missouri is doing and how they could be a family like the McCartys as well, welcoming another child in their home. Our guest today, Bev Schaefer, Foster Care Director for Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri. Bev, thanks so much for being our guest today.
You bet, any time.
And Jody McCarty, thanks so much for being our guest here in studio.
Thank you.
And Stephen McCarty, thanks for being our guest today.
Thank you, Andy.
And to Ashlyn, Callie, and Sienna, thanks for being our guests here on Faith and Family.
They smile and say thank you all.
They smile. If you can hear... Oh.
Thank you.
It was my pleasure. What a great story Thank to you. Get to share. Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word with Pastor Randy Asbury today, filling in for Pastor Whedon. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.